Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. Thank you so much for joining me. So today's guest is somebody I kidnapped. I met her somewhere, we were having drinks, and she was like, oh my God, I work with people's voices. And I leapt on her to persuade her to come on. I did this because I've spent my whole life on either a stage or a TV or doing something in the public eye. And I have found that when I'm speaking, my voice changes depending on how I feel about things and where it's coming from and what it's doing. And I've always struggled with the fact that when I listen to a lot of people speaking in public, particularly when women get nervous, their voices become really high and really nasal. And I find that it hurts my ears. Well, I'm not even trying to be a cow. It just hurts my ears. And I start to walk away from what they're saying. But have you guys ever found that? Have you found that when you're listening to someone, that how their voice feels is how long you keep listening to them? Because if you haven't, I suggest you do it, because there are people that we can dislike just because how they sound doesn't feel right to us. And I think that tone and tonality and kind of like where your voice comes from in your body, I feel it tells me a lot about you. And so I'm waiting to learn about something that is instinctive for me from today's guest, because she knows all about it. And she's also a Jungian life coach, which I've never heard of. So we're going to find out what that is. So Anushka Taylor, welcome. Thank you very much for joining me.
I'm so pleased to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So yeah, because we sat down and you were like, I'm a life coach. And I kind of leapt on you and I went, oh yeah. My God, that is so important. But tell me why you said some really interesting things about where the voice comes from and how far down it comes in the body.
Yeah,
super aware of the voice, and I did not know any of those things. So tell me more about why voice coaching. Why would anyone come to you and say, help me with my voice?
Because it's not something we're taught ever. I mean, unless you happen to have singing training, drama training, acting training.
Are about to marry Prince Charles, because Diana had a lot of coaching on her voice.
Yes, so politicians often have voice coaching. Anyone in the media will usually have some kind of voice coaching, news readers, things like that. But for most people, they really don't give their voice any thought yet. As you so rightly said a second ago, we make so many judgments, conscious and unconscious, about people based on their voice. Do I like you? Do I respect you? Do I want to work with you? Do I even want to listen to anything you have to say? And it's all happening so quickly, so fast, that we have a few seconds to either, you know, draw people in or literally turn people off.
Yeah, and I think that we don't, I mean, like my best friend's grandchild has a nanny who has a really shrill speaking voice, and they just crack up laughing because I'm always wincing and walking away. But I'm also highly noise sensitive, so I think it's bringing up five children has just killed all my
fair enough
sensory whatevers. But why, like I noticed this with Margaret Thatcher, if you know anything about her, had a lot of voice coaching, and she lowered her voice so many registers. But I also noticed that with men, that when men get into authority, everybody lowers their voice. Why do we all lower our voice? Well, how does that help us?
Well, I see, I don't know if it does, actually, so I'm going to be a bit controversial.
How it doesn't help us?
Well, it does and it doesn't. So I suppose if you think very much, you know, in terms of the wild, if you think about lions, the roar, the deep sort of resonant voice, it's authority, it's power, it's strength. So we associate it very much instinctively with power, authority, and strength. However, what people don't really get is just lowering your voice is not the answer. You actually have to find where your voice naturally wants to sit. And from that place, you can deepen it in other ways, because just lowering the pitch actually creates more problems than it solves. And that's a big thing I work with pretty much everyone on.
Okay, so how do I find out where my voice naturally wants to come from?
So there's a couple of ways you can do it. One way is to imagine something tastes really nice. So, and you'll know if it's where your voice naturally wants to sit because there'll be an ease. You won't feel like you're pushing your voice out. It will just naturally feel like it's sort of flowing out of you.
That feels like a singing exercise.
Well, it can be, but I do this a lot with speakers. I mean, there's other ways. This is a quick way right now. But if your pitch is too low, what you're going to find is you have to push your voice out. You have to force it. You have to get the voice out. And equally, if the pitch is too high, you're not going to have any resonance. The voice is going to be too small, too pinched, too squeezed. So when we find this optimal pitch for our voice, then we can modulate, intonate above and below that pitch. So it's not that we become monotone. The voice just functions better. And what the untrained person does is they think, I'm just going to lower my pitch and then I'm going to be authoritative. But then they create all these other problems.
It strains your throat as well when you're doing that.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah.
So when someone comes in to see you, because you taught, you sing and you were a singing coach, is that right?
I teach singing and I'm a singer and I work with speakers, yes.
Yeah.
So all voice.
Sounded like one of my children had singing classes, and that sounded a little bit like a singing class type thing.
Yes and no. I mean, well, you've got to remember that the speaking voice is the lowest part of your singing voice. So it's not a different voice. And you are a musical instrument, even as a speaker. So I think we do have to see that we are singing to some extent because we actually want melody in our speaking voice. We don't want to sound monotone. We do want expression. We do want a variety of dynamics. We don't just want to sound bland and flat and boring. So yes, to some extent, I do work with singers very, very differently. I mean, this would not really factor into a singing lesson. But obviously there's going to be some overlap because it's the same voice.
Yeah, and also you're trained in kind of the voice. So
yes.
you're taking the very initial superficial parts of it, probably coming towards the speaking things because the singer has so much more control over their voice, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and just more dynamics, more pitch, range, etc. There's a lot more complexity.
So can you tell me, what is it that the majority of people that you coach about their voice, what do they come to you for? Like, what do you think? Oh, I need a voice coach. What have you just thought the minute before that?
Normally, there will be some kind of, probably like any coaching, some kind of pain point that they can no longer bear the situation they're in. So someone's made a comment at work. I've worked with people before where they won't get a promotion until they work on their communication.
Oh, but they don't call it their voice. They call it their communication.
Well, voice communication, but, yes.
No. Give examples. I love this.
Well, I mean, I don't want to mention any names or any companies.
No, I don't want names. So
this particular person mumbled and he talked really fast and he mumbled and none of his team could understand anything he was saying. And so basically he was told that unless he worked on his voice and how he communicated in meetings, he wouldn't progress to the next level in the business. And this is a global company. So the opportunities were endless. So the thing was, he knew his voice was mumbled. He knew he talked really fast. But he didn't feel he really needed to do anything about it because he thought, well, people understand me. I don't need to do anything about this.
It's good enough.
But actually, it was really bothering people. And it came out in an annual performance review.
Wow.
Because they'd interviewed his team and colleagues, etc. And universally, everyone came back and said, we've got no idea what this man says in meetings because he talks so fast and he mumbles. We're just left thinking, what just happened in that meeting? So often it's driven by things like that. But I would say across the board, probably the one word I hear is confidence. People want to feel more confident. They want to feel they own their voice. They want to feel like they have more control over their voice. And as we said before, because most people aren't trained, they're just, the voice is sort of driving them. And it's, I've got no idea what's going to come out. And when we get nervous, everything constricts. As you said before, the voice gets high. That's because the vocal tract gets constricted and tight.
Something I notice with women a lot. I don't notice it as much with men, but I do with women. We're going to go for a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk more about something that I see in my job a lot, where a lot of the women that I coach super successful, uber famous, globally famous women, and they will have had issues of illness around the throat. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's always the voice, right? So we're just going to go on a break and we'll do it as soon as we come back.
Thanks. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. So tell me about that. Have you, is that connection I've made the right one? Because I'm always looking at women and I'm seeing kind of the illness that they've had or something around the throat. And to me, it always feels like because we haven't found our voice as women because we're socialized for approval, right?
Absolutely. And the voice is very, very much about survival and protection. I mean, if you even think about it on a literal sense, the vocal cords are there to protect the airway, to stop food going into our lungs. So in a very literal sense, it's there for survival. First and foremost, it's there for survival, and then it's for communication. So yes, it's very much about survival. We tend to speak like everyone else. We tend to want to fit in. I hear this a lot. People will say to me, well, everyone speaks like this. Everyone in my family speaks like this. Everyone around me speaks like this. And so we tend to want to fit in with our voice, but that isn't our true voice. And so, as you said, what will happen is something will happen. I've had worked with women that have had thyroid cancer. Like,
yes, that's what I mean. That's what I see so much.
Yes.
Thyroid issues and thyroid cancer. I promise you, the number of women I have coached over the years who have that slit just here.
Yes.
They've had that operation. Yes. And I always look at that and I think, ooh, okay. So we're going to have to deal with that first, you know, because I've watched that and then it becomes an ill. And as we're coaching, it's a rhythm because the deeper the coaching goes, the more unwell the throat becomes. Then it comes and lets itself. And it's always in graduations almost, right?
Yeah.
But I see that with women.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So it's very, very emotional, the voice. And so if we have learned that it's not safe to express ourselves, to ask for what we want, to be okay with conflict. I think a lot of women struggle to express anger and be okay with conflict. That is going to go into the voice, you know, that's going to shut the voice down and it's going to create disease. It's going to create illness in some way.
Did you ever, I don't know, well, because of what you do, but I like so many women, like I did when I was younger, when I got angry, I couldn't speak because I'd be crying.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
right? Yeah. And I would just be in tears and it would piss me off.
Yes.
I couldn't say what I wanted to say because I was in tears the whole way through. And I'd be like, I'm done, hate you. And, you know, you're like, oh, for the love of God, can I stop crying? Just how angry I am with you.
100%, 100%. Yeah. And it's like a sort of defense mechanism. It's like it's too frightening for me to actually communicate how I really feel. So I'm going to cry because it's almost like when we cry, people usually give us a bit of a break as well.
Maybe interesting. I always thought it's because you kind of store emotion in the liquid in the body and that as you're letting out all the pain associated with the thing that you're angry about, right?
True, I think it's both, yeah.
I like your take on it as well. So how do you make people feel more confident by helping them with their voice?
Well, because the voice is an outer expression of what's going on within. So as we said, but it's often very unconscious. So as you just described, a lot of your clients are very successful, globally well-known.
Yeah.
Yet, if they haven't done the inner work and it's all sort of about pleasing and wanting to appear a particular way publicly, if they haven't addressed what's going on within, it will become an issue eventually. And so voice does not lie. It will, as because we're going to come to the Jungian side of it in a minute, but a Jungian analyst I interviewed a while ago, she said to me, the voice betrays the ego being the survival part of us, the part of us that wants to show a particular face to the world. So you can try and manipulate and control your voice, but the voice will.
Let me just break that down. So the voice betrays the ego, as in the voice will tell you what the ego is feeling.
No. So the ego is all about showing a particular face to the world. I want to look successful. I want to look powerful. I want to look rich and famous. But the voice is then saying something else. So this is a big thing I have with women. They're like, but I'm running this big company and yet my voice shuts down when I have to have this difficult conversation, because it's really what's going on within. So the voice doesn't lie, and the voice will tell you everything you need to know about yourself if you're willing to go there.
Oh, I see. So betray is meaning as in it will tell the absolute truth.
Absolutely.
But in a way that makes so much sense, because what you're doing is like when I put my hand on my chest here, I feel the resonance of my voice. So yeah, it's picking up the vibration of where my body is, right? And that is going to come out no matter how I pretend I feel. The reality will come out.
Absolutely. So if you can see the voice as a tool for learning and understanding yourself more, which is how I use it, then you do the voice training, and then the byproduct is the voice will naturally emerge. Whereas what people tend to do, and my training was initially all about working with the symptom. My voice is weak, let's give you some exercises to strengthen the voice. And that's all great, but you're not addressing emotionally why the voice is weak in the first place.
So does this now bring us into your Jungian stuff?
Yes. Good segue.
Tell me about the Jungian bit.
So Carl Jung, have you heard of Carl Jung?
No, I know who he is. I'm not honest.
Okay. So
absolutely explain it as well.
Yeah. So Carl Jung, famous psychoanalyst, around the same time as Freud, and a lot of the psychology sort of training at universities and stuff tends to be more Freudian based than Jungian based. But Jung seems to be having this kind of renaissance now. There's a lot more people talking about shadow work. There's a lot of very, very popular podcasts that focus on his work. And the whole kind of concept with this, I don't use this in a clinical model, which is why I say I'm a coach versus a clinician.
Yeah.
Because you could go and see a Jungian analyst who can work clinically if you're mentally ill. But it's the same with the voice. I don't work clinically with voices either. So I'm not a speech therapist either.
So we're saying that what the Jungian point being that there's shadow work that needs to be done.
Yes.
And what you do is somebody comes to you with the voice being the leading proponent of a component they want to function,
yes,
and get better. And yep, you go into, let's work on your shadow side so that we can make you sound better and feel better and all those things.
Yes, because it's about you becoming whole. And so the shadow is what you've repressed, suppressed, pushed away. And it's not only your darkness, quote unquote, it's also your light. And often people's gifts and talents are in the shadow, so they feel like they've been told, well, you can never sing, you can never be a public speaker, you can never run a successful business, so let just stay in your 9-to-5 safe job and don't even try and go for your dreams. So often in the shadow is our gold, as well as the things that we don't want to look at.
I have to say I agree with that. I used to do a lot of public speaking, but it was one of those things that before I went on stage, I had that thumping. I could hear my heartbeat in my ears, you know, that absolute fear and panic, and you couldn't hear what was happening. And I'd be speaking and I almost couldn't hear what I'd said. And it was like this had to be this emotional thing, because they could, you know, and I was very lucky to rely on instinct a lot, but it was just traumatizing. And I remember thinking at one stage, I can't keep being afraid of this. Either don't bloody do it, or do it and get better at it. You know what I mean? And better meant don't be afraid of it, feel in control of it. Don't let the thing run you. You run it.
Yeah.
And I remember doing, what was it called? Immersion therapy. I booked myself, and I used to get offered speaking gigs all the time. This is pre-pandemic. I booked 2018, 2017. I booked myself, even a bit earlier, on every speaking gig I was offered. If there was one cat and a nice childless cat lady sitting somewhere, according to the American potential vice president, or there was any, I would be sitting there and speaking, because I wanted to get to a place where I just didn't get afraid of it anymore. And I had just nailed it. But that, it would have been obviously more intelligent to come to someone like you and think, help me find my voice. But
yeah, well, we don't think of it like that. And that's been the big part of my work, is educating people around what their voice is really symbolizing, because it's not something that we're taught. So you wouldn't know.
But do you think, no, exactly. Do you think that this is different with men and with women?
I think men have different socialization around their voice. So it's a, they come for different reasons.
Like what?
So a lot of men are, I would say I work with a lot of men more around thinking really quickly, and therefore they speak really quickly. Because for them, thinking quickly, speaking quickly means I'm more intelligent if I can get my thoughts out really, really quickly. But really? Then it gets a lot. Yeah. Because if I speak slowly, then people might think I'm a bit stupid and I don't know what I'm saying. So let me just speak really, really fast and get everything out. So I would say not all, but a lot of the men I work with, it's either around limited expression because they've been taught to speak low and to have this big manly resonant voice, but I can't be too expressive, or they speak really fast. But essentially, we're still dealing with shadow stuff. It's just different.
And women? In fact, let's go for a break and tell me about the women when we come back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back. What about the women? Why do they then decide to do this?
Women, I would say, are more around nerves with speaking. So they tend to come to me because they perhaps are the only woman on their board or pitching for investment and they're pitching to men. And they just feel like their voice shuts down as soon as they're in a room full of men or they're having to have a more challenging conversation and potentially more conflict. So I think women are more conflict avoidant.
Yeah, but isn't it also that women struggle a lot more to be seen and heard?
Yes, so it's the confidence thing, yeah.
So are you saying that we struggle to be seen and heard because we get nervous in the scenario, or because we're not being seen and heard, we get nervous and therefore we close up? Or is it a bit of both?
Well, we're always, the world is just a mirror. So you're always seeing what you really believe about yourself externally. Yeah. So if you feel like you're not being heard on some level, you don't want to be heard. And so we've got to work on that. And that is not to do with what's going on in your life right now. There'd be something from your past around, you know, perhaps it was unsafe for you to express yourself as a child. You got told to shut up. You're a silly little girl. That's what I got told as a child. Like, you're a silly little girl. Stop talking.
Too much. You're always talking too much.
Exactly. You don't know what you're talking about. You're the youngest in the family. Just be quiet. That's what I got told a lot.
Don't talk this much. I remember seeing the most fantastic post on, it must have been Instagram a while back. And it said, people who were told you talk too much when you were younger, what jobs do you do now? And it was hysterical because it was all kind of marketing, coaching, supportive, empowerment, because everybody had been told, can you shut up? And they were like, I don't think so. I think I'll just money out of this shit. Can you walk us through a little bit of your singing career? Tell me a little bit about that, because that's actually still you do this. It's still a large part of your career, right?
Yeah. So
it's a very hard thing to do, to be established as a professional singer.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting because coming back to the whole shadow, it's just part of who I am. I can't not do it. It's like, I feel like my arms are chopped off if I don't sing. So it's like, I'll do it anyway. As you said, even if it's to one person in a room, I'll still sing. So I've been singing since I can remember. That's how I really got into all of this. I started training to be a singing teacher, but the singing thing has never left. And now I'm more in songwriting as well, which is a whole other level of vulnerability, writing about personal stuff. So so talk about, you're putting yourself out there, you've written the lyrics, you've written the music, you're playing, you're singing, there's nowhere to hide. And it's been an amazing journey for me in being more vulnerable.
I feel like that I'm just looking at your notes here on the side, and it said you find wherever people struggle in life and business, the clues are in their voice, and it's reflected in voice quality, expression, and energy. But yeah. I have to say that I find that I spend a lot of time speaking about failing, because I think people are very afraid of failure, and I don't think there's anything to be afraid of in failure. I think it's something that just happens. We should accept it. And so one of the things was, I remember some man somewhere saying to me, you just keep failing. And me thinking, why don't you go get stuffed, you stupid man? I'll show you failure. And getting up on a stage and talking about how many times I'd failed in order to prove that I was still standing type thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting place to be, because the vulnerability that, because like I'm actually clearing my throat, right? I saw your face. The vulnerability that comes from having to talk about publicly anything at all as a woman, yes, because we get attacked so much more. I think it prevents more women from standing up and speaking their truth because they're afraid to get attacked. Because I mean, God, I've been pilloried from across the globe, frankly, with all kinds of things I'm alleged to have said or done or whatever, because I'm a woman. And so it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that getting our voice right,
yeah,
is almost the biggest gift we can give ourselves, right?
Yeah, yeah. And also I think it's, again, we talked about the sort of ego. I think also part of this work is finding that sort of higher place to come from, because if we are an ego, we are always going to feel on the defensive, we're being attacked, because the ego is all about separation and fear and lack and limitation. So I think part of this work as well is really connecting to the truth of who you are, and then you will have the courage to keep putting yourself out there, because what people criticize in you is just their own stuff. And you start to see that, I think, the more you put yourself out there.
Yeah, you start to realize that when someone's attacking you, it's not so much about you.
About them.
Yeah, I did. I had coffee with a woman a couple of weeks ago, and she said, I listened to your podcast, and I wish you wouldn't talk so much about failure. I think you need to talk about success. And I started laughing because I was like, okay, we're really not getting this. You know, and I thought, well, okay, you know, there's nothing you can do to that. You can, because if someone's going to get it their way or they're not going to get it their way.
Yeah.
But, you know, you kind of are where you are type thing.
Absolutely. And we have to be ready to hear this. And not everyone would be ready to do my kind of voice coaching. Some people want the quick tips. Just give me something to get through that meeting. And that's not really what I do. I can give you quick tips, but it's a bit pointless.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so then let's not finish on the quick tip for how to get heard in a meeting.
Yeah, quick tip. Yeah. Well, I would say if I was to give you a quick tip, which isn't a quick tip, it's do your inner work, because that's going to change your life, your business, everything.
Oh, I think that. People come and, you know, like often people say, oh, you're a business coach. And I always think, honestly, if you change, every time my business has gotten stuck, I've had to work on me.
Yes.
Because it's me that's holding it. If I've had this, I don't understand how you can't see that if you've had this vision and created it,
yeah,
then the only thing in your way is you.
Yes.
And the companies that I've helped grow to multi millions, it's always the CEO being able to stand up and go, it's me, actually, that's the problem. How do I help me get better? How do I fix me? And for women, a lot of that, because 90% of my clients are women, it's going to be about how do I feel better and stronger and more confident about being a woman?
Yes.
Instead of having to act like a man, which is what we were taught to do.
Exactly. And so we have to kind of, and that's all the conditioning, and that's where we have to kind of integrate all of that conditioning to become who we really are versus just reacting to the world based on what society's taught us.
Yeah. And it's funny because you can't, I have a workshop I do called Lead Like a Woman. And I have a company that's just booked me to do the workshop. And they're like, we'd like to not have the word woman or feminine in it because then none of the men will come. I was like, okay. So that, you know, if you said lead like a man, it'd be like, oh, come, it'll be really inspiring. But if I said,
yeah.
I'm not going to inspire you.
Yeah.
we're on a journey, as they say. We're on a journey.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to me about that. It's something that I really care about. It's just weird, but I do. I think it's because I spend all my life using my voice.
Yes.
Know? And as do you, we just do it in different kind of ways.
Yeah.
That I think it's so incredibly important, and that we don't see. We were having a conversation with my children about being creative. And they were like, but Mama, you apparently, like, someone came to our house and said the person who decorated this house is creative. And I was laughing. I was like, I'm very creative. I'm just creative verbally. Mm-hmm. And you guys are creative in painting or in design or whatever. But I think the voice is a form of creativity of itself, right?
Well, it's a musical instrument.
Yeah.
Even if you're a speaker, it's still a musical instrument. So you are still performing, whether you like it or not. you are a performer of sorts, and there's a real negative connotation for women particularly around being a performer. So what happens is when they reject being a performer, they reject the gold, the expression, the dynamics, the variety in their voice. Because being a performer means being creative, allowing all of that richness, that depth, that variety in your voice. And that's a big shadow piece for a lot of women I work with, actually, now I'm thinking about it.
Why do women reject being a performer?
Because it means being seen.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, putting your head above the parapet. Yes, no, absolutely
yeah.
True.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And yet, I think regularly that the most approaches that are ever made to me are by people saying, I really need to be seen, my product or my business or my whatever. And I'm always thinking, but if you're afraid to be seen, no one's going to see what you do.
Yes.
So you've got to be willing to be seen for who you are.
Yes.
And the only way you can do that is if you're comfortable with it, right?
Yes. But it's so, I mean, as you said at the beginning or earlier, it's you have to be okay with people not liking you. And I think that's a big, big part of it, because not everyone is going to get what you do. Not everyone's going to agree with you. And that's been a big thing for me.
Yeah. Because
what I do in the voice space, I don't know anyone else that talks about the voice the way I do. I'm sort of forming my own path. And most of my peers are just around voice exercises, vocal technique. That's all really important. But for me, they're just missing out on probably 90% of it.
Go you. I did literally leap at you, because this is a conversation that I don't know how to tell people how important I think it is that your voice is a part of you that you own and understand, which you honestly, it's true, you can't own and understand it until you own and understand yourself and who you are and what you were born to do and our inner greatness. Because what was it? It's like, what was it that that Marianne Williamson quote?
Oh, yes. I know which one you mean, and now yeah, I can't remember.
The one Nelson Mandela said.
Yes,
it's not our darkness that frightens us, it's our greatness that frightens us.
It's our light. Yeah. And that's, you know, we were talking about failure, but I personally think what we fear more is success, actually, because success is unknown. Yeah.
I'm just hang on. Our deepest fear is, I just saw the words, our deepest fear. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Exactly.
And that's
I love it.
What I think this is. Amazing. Yeah. Thanks, sweetie. Thank you so much for coming on.
So you can find me across social media. I've got a YouTube channel. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok at Anuska Vocals. My website is anuskataylor.com.
Amazing. Thank you, Anuska, for joining me.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, such a pleasure. Well, I hope that was interesting for you. It's something that I care about so much. It's something that I care about so deeply, because I think for us as women, finding our voice is honestly the key to our absolute and utter freedom. And not having our voice is the key to self-imprisonment. It sounds so extreme, but I cannot tell you how important I think it is that we do this, because it is something that we don't understand what it unlocks within us. So it's been such a pleasure for me to have this conversation today. I hope you guys find it really interesting, and I will speak to you soon. This is Activate Yourself. My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.